I want to start this morning with a story. Story about a guy called Artful Eddie. Anybody heard of Artful Eddie? Okay, I haven't heard of Artful Eddie, okay? Who's heard of Al Capone? Now that's a different story, right? For those who aren't quite sure who Al Capone was, he was a gangster in the 1920s. He lived in Chicago. The police wanted to arrest this guy. They knew he was behind massacres. There was just this underground crime scene that he was the key figure of, but they could not nail this guy. See, one of the guys that was in cahoots with Al Capone was a lawyer who they called Artful Eddie. Now, Artful Eddie lived the lifestyle. But there came a day when Artful Eddie turned Al Capone in. He gave the police everything they needed to know on this guy. Why? See, he knew it would come at a cost. 2 days later, that man was dead. He knew that what he was going to do would cost him dearly. So why? He had everything to lose. Or did he? See, Artful Eddie had a son. And Artful Eddie decided that his son was somebody that was valuable to him. He discovered the value of family. And he said, I want my son to have a life that's not bound up with crime. And to give my son a name, I have to clear my name. So what happened to the son? Did he decide to live the life of crime, easy cash, flash cars? What did he do? Well, his son decided that he would join and become an Air Force pilot. This guy fought in the Second World War. In fact, it was in the Second World War that he too put his life on the line. And he took down 5 enemy planes that were bombing a US warship. That guy ended up being given a medal for his bravery and for what he did to save the lives of others. Now, if you go to Chicago today and you mention the name O'Hare, the people there will not think of gangster. They will not think of crime. They will think of a war hero, Buddy O'Hare. They have named the airport there. If you ever fly into Chicago, you will fly into O'Hare International Airport. Named after Buddy O'Hare, the son of Eddie O'Hare, a.k.a. Artful Eddie. He turned his whole family around. Why? For a very simple reason. Darwin, can you move the cords from the front of the thing there? What we value dictates our future. Just move the cords so that they're not in front. See, the values we embrace determine the life that we will live. So what are your values? What are you holding on to? See, they're an area of our life that we don't think much about. but they are a powerful river that will take us somewhere. And we have to ask, do we want to go where they're going to take us? So this morning, I want to start picking up this whole area of values. And let's start by looking at how our values are shaped. I'm going to have to get you to do it manually for me, Delwyn. So the next one. Our values are shaped from a very young age. First way is by teaching and modelling. I want you to imagine for a moment you've got a young child in a home sitting on the couch doing what a young kid does. And in walks grandfather. Mother turns to the boy and says, "Give your seat to your grandfather." What has she done? She has just taught him a value. Now, it might be years and years before he even knows what the word honour means, but he has just learned honour. Or maybe when the grandfather walks in, the older brothers and sisters gather up their toys and they head to the bedroom, and the little one tags along. He's not quite sure why, but he just knows that when grandfather turns up in the house, we don't play in the lounge, we play in our bedroom. Nobody has to tell him why, but he grows up with that value because it's been taught and it's been modelled. What's been taught and what's been modelled in your life? Those values shape who you are and they will determine where you will go. If we can have the next one. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." Who knows that they are very hard to tell the difference between? What's you? What's God? The word of God will do that. It will divide that for you. "And joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." One of the main reasons that we need the word of God is because it adjusts us on the inside. See, there is a heavenly culture as well as our natural culture. And as we start to read the word starts to challenge the natural culture that we have on the inside. I shared last week about being raised in a very Scottish culture, and that in my culture, giving was not part of the culture. You hung on to everything you had. You didn't give it away. I mean, how stupid is that? When I got saved, I found out God had another culture. And the word of God started to change that culture on the inside and made me a giver. Next one, Darwin. Shaping of our values comes through teaching and modelling. But it also comes through pictures and images. And especially if they're traumatic, they can shape your values. How many people are out there saying, "I'll never trust a man"? They have a powerful picture on the inside that has shaped their values. The Lord's always using pictures to shape our values. Last week we talked about Peter out up on the housetop praying. God shows him a picture. It's a picture of what he considers unclean. And God changes the picture for him. Why? Because he wants to change the culture. This morning when I had people pray, I had them bring up the picture of where they're at so that God could change the picture. He loves to change the picture. And he changed the picture for Peter and said, the Gentiles, they're not unclean. I've made them clean. And this morning, God wants to start changing pictures that we've had on the inside and changing them. I could give you many examples of that. Yeah, we'll go to the next scripture first, and then I'll share the story. 1 Corinthians 6, starting with verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? In this passage of Scripture, we see the combination of teaching and pictures. Now, Paul starts by asking some questions. Don't you know? See, what's he getting at? He's aiming at the belief system that is inside these Corinthians. But then he gives them two pictures. One picture we understand fairly readily. You are members of Christ. We are all part of Christ's body. He gives them another picture that we read over and it doesn't mean much to us. But he says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now the reason that these guys had to be taught to flee immorality and they had to be taught was because they lived in a culture where they had temple prostitutes. They had the goddess of love in Corinth. They had over 1,000 prostitutes. And making love was part of their worship. There were pictures of it all around the city of Corinth. Paul is telling them about, hey, you don't have sex with everybody. Some of you came out of that temple, I know. But now you are the temple. Now that picture doesn't mean much to us, but that picture meant everything to those people who were getting saved out of that lifestyle. See, God knows exactly where you live. He knows exactly the picture that you need to see. And many times we hold pictures that God wants to change. Inner healing has a lot to do with that, dealing with the lies and changing the pictures. See, let me share with you one of the stories from, it's actually the Advanced Sozo training that it comes from. And it's about this young man who came in to receive a sozo or inner healing ministry. Comes in and he sits in the woman's office and she says, okay, what are you here for? Well, my wife says, I've got a problem. Okay, that's interesting. What's the problem that your wife thinks that you have? Well, we're married, but I keep sleeping with other women. And she's sitting there keeping her sozo face. Okay. Do you think you have a problem? Well, not really. So what are you going to do there? Well, the Bible says you must do this. That's not what God does. When you turn to the Bible, God starts to give you pictures. So this woman said, okay, well, you're happy if we ask Jesus a question? Oh, yeah? So she gets him to pray, Jesus, when did I first learn about my sexuality? And he goes, oh. And the leader says, okay, what did Jesus show you? He says, ah, oh. He showed me when I was a little boy and I used to go and stay with my grandfather. In the morning, when my grandfather would wake up, he'd give my grandmother, you know, a hug and a kiss and show affection for her, make her breakfast. And he said, then I'd go for a walk with my grandfather and we'd walk down to an area of the village. And that area of the village had all these pretty girls sitting in the windows on both sides. And my grandfather would leave me to play in the street while he went to one of those houses with the pretty girls. He said afterwards we'd wander back home and just do whatever we did for the rest of the day. Why did this young man think there was nothing wrong as a believer being married with a wife and sleeping with any woman he chose to? It's because as a young child, that's the value that he learned in the culture that he raised with, that his grandfather could show affection to the grandmother and then go and visit a prostitute, and there was nothing wrong with that. So the woman who was leading the sozo said to him, okay, let's ask Jesus what he thinks. He says, okay, we'll do that. Prays again, and he goes, oh no. She says, okay, what did Jesus show you? And he said, I saw the same street, the same pretty girls were sitting in the windows. And he said, every one of them looked like my sister. That guy only had one area where he knew he did not have sex with a woman. It was his sister. And God showed him, all the other women are in your life like your sister. That guy went home, stayed faithful to his wife. Why? Because God changed the picture. Sometimes there's pictures that God wants to change on the inside because we aren't even aware that they are taking us places that we shouldn't be going. Next one, Darwin. So what are your values? Well, I've put up for you very briefly, the values of pursuit. Valuing his presence, believing in his goodness, declaring his word, living under grace, guided by the Spirit, extending the kingdom, serving people, releasing honor. We're going to be talking about these values, what actually they mean, because we need to understand values and we need to understand the power of them. But that's what we'll be starting next week. This week, I want to talk about staying out of the ditch. So just turn to your neighbour and say, stay out of the ditch. Lynn's already told John that one. What do I mean? Okay, next one, Darwin. Well, let's look at this example. Go back one. Oh, sorry. Yep. Put them both up, the Ephesians one. No, back. Ephesians Yep, one more. One more. Yep, that one. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Scripture basis for a culture of honour. Let's have the next one. Luke 14, 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. They sound slightly contradictory. Yeah, John's going, yeah, a little bit. They are. Why? See, God knows that we are so likely to take hold of something and take it to extremes. The culture of honour, if you take it to extreme, what does it become? Control. Yes, idolatry. So the Lord also puts a scripture in there for us to say, okay, I want you to honour your parents, but I don't want you to take that so far that you miss what I have for you. So I'm also going to put on the other extreme for you a scripture that says, me first and your parents are down the list. Now, we have this continuum, if you like, and some of you have been raised in a culture that is very high on the honour end. We, at a cafe during the week, we were talking to our hostess, whatever you call her. She was a Hindu girl, sharing with her. She loves New Zealand, but she has to go back very shortly. Why? Because her father says, you must come home and you must work in my chemical factory. She does not want to. Now, her culture is very high on the honour end of the spectrum. Now, if I go over to the United States and I talk to some people there and say, what are you going to do with your life? Oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Great. What do your parents think about it? Oh, I don't know. They're over on this side of the spectrum. Now, we have to decide what side of the spectrum we are on. You can bring up the next one. See, when an emphasis is taken to extremes, it becomes an error. It's okay to have an emphasis, but you take that to extremes and you step into error. Next. See, looking at that road, what side would you drive on? Most of us here, I think, would stay to the left. If I was in America, they'd look at it and go, you gotta be joking, you'd be over on the right. Are they right or are you right? John says it depends on the oncoming car. See, there are many people... He's a very practical guy, is our John. That's true. But when I was in university, my best friend's sister died in the States because they were on a road and there was a car coming. And they reverted to what was natural to them. They went to the left. See, in crisis, you will go to what is in your heart to do. You will kick in to what it is that are your values. You get threatened in a situation, you'll find out what your values are. They'll come to the surface very quickly. And sadly, what happens in a lot of relationships is that you find your values are not the same as the person you married. Especially if you marry cross-culturally. It's even more so. You have to sort out what are your values. That's one of the things that we have to look at as a church. We want to be multicultural. For some of you, that means a 10 o'clock start means I arrive when I feel like it. Some of you will be, if it's 1 second after 10, I'm late. That's only a minor aspect of the fun that we will have together because we have different values. So let me give you an example actually from our church. When we rebirthed Pursuit, our value was we're going to go after the presence of God. We still have that value. But it was like it's a presence or bust. So on a Sunday morning, we would sing in tongues. If we had two known songs, you were lucky that morning. See what happened? We took something and we took it so far, where did we end up? And show us the next picture. You take a value, you take it to extremes, you'll end up in a ditch. If you go to some churches, like if you go to a seeker-sensitive church, they will worship 20 minutes. Why? They're on this end of the spectrum. Us, we will worship 45 minutes. We're on this end of the spectrum. But let's bring up the next scripture. This is a scripture that God used for us. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. It's like, oops, we're forgetting to do that. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks? Since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. God said, it's great that you want to go after my presence. But me, the Holy Spirit, I've also given you some wisdom. You need to have some words on the overhead. Because when your visitors come in, they're listening to you going, how do we connect with this? What are we meant to do? So not only are values on a continuum, but many times we have values that complement one another. When I brought up the lists of values before, the top one was valuing the presence. But also on that list is honouring people. So when we have people who are guests come in and join, we want them to feel like they are able to connect and able to belong. So sorting out values can be a journey. If you don't get it right, don't worry. God will help you. But I believe it starts with discovering what those values are and then having those conversations with one another as husband and wife. See, I know the things that Ray values. Sometimes they're not the things that I value. And we have to have a talk about that. In times past, those have caused friction between us. He's told the story many times about wanting to throw out the old fire guard. Some of you can remember that. Clash of values. Yeah, I saw a look between a husband and wife. One of you probably wants to keep things and one of you wants to throw things out. Stems from different values. Yeah, and you've got sons looking at parents now. We really are starting to touch home. What we're going to do in finishing the meeting is I'm going to give to John to hand out to you. Get somebody to help you. But this is a values list. There are nearly 400 values on this. So it is a huge list of values. If English is your second language, send me an email and I'll send it to you in digital so that you can put it in and end up with it in your own language. Because even for those of us who grew up speaking English, some of these words you go, what is that? But I encourage you, start to find out what your values are. And I've given some instructions there. Just read through the words. Some of them you'll go, oh, yeah, right. Other ones will go, yeah, that's me. Well, highlight it, circle it. Do whatever you need to do to take note of it. Then pull all those words off and start to group them together. And you will find that many of those words are similar. You group them together and then you look at them and you go, oh, what's kind of a word that sums up those, or what's the key word? So I encourage you to do that. And we will start to talk about values over the next little while. And I believe you'll get more out of the messages if you're starting to get an idea of your own values and if you're starting to talk that through at home. And starting to ask the Lord, Lord, are there some values that I have that are heading towards the ditch? Yes. Keep. Well, there is some room. You can write it. Did everybody get a copy? Okay. Couples, if you can make sure, if you didn't get a copy, can we at least make sure that we've got a copy per family? I'm anticipating that some people are going to say, hey, I want a digital copy of this so that I can pull the words and put them into a list. It'll be easier if it's digital. Okay? So if you still need a copy and haven't got one, I've got one more here. Okay. If you want a digital copy, send me an email. Let's pray. Papa, thank you that you want us to discover who we are. You want us to discover the values that are driving us on the inside so that we end up being the place that we want to be and not some place that we feel regret over because we had values take us someplace that you didn't have for us. So, Father, I pray for each and every person here, Lord, that as they start to work through this, Lord, that you will start to show them even values that they hold that you want to adjust. And I thank you for that. We want our values to be in line with our purpose. Lord, that we might fulfill what you have for us. Everyone said, Amen. Amen.